Well, actually, here's a really easy warm-up question. Could you state your full name just to make sure that I get the pronunciation correct for radio?
Okay, I am Edwin Estioco.
Okay, and you're a photojournalist with Compassion?
Yep, the photojournalist of Compassion for the Philippines.
And you said before I started the recording, you mentioned that you are actually from the Philippines. What area did you grow up in?
Yes, I am from Quezon City. This is part of Metro Manila, which is the capital of the Philippines.
Great. And what made you want to start working with Compassion?
Oh, wow. There's a lot. I have a lot of reasons. First and foremost, of course, I love working with and for the children. And then secondly, working with and for the church. And I also enjoy traveling around. I also enjoy writing and photography. So I believe all the ingredients that I have been looking for, I found in Compassion.
That's so awesome. I also love the work that Compassion does. They're a great partner of MNN. If it's okay with you, I'll ask you a few questions about the tropical storm in July.
Sure.
I understand it led to a lot of flooding in Visayas and Mindanao. The update on Compassion's website says that 374 children were affected, and that seems like a lot of kids to me. Can you help us understand why so many families were affected? I mean, was it a heavily populated area, or why so many kids?
You know, Katie, the Philippines is prone to typhoons and monsoon rains. Actually, in July, this number of families and homes affected aren't really that many, relatively. Like we've had bigger typhoons before, where thousands of families have been affected. So the Philippines gets an average of around 20 typhoons a year, not counting the monsoon rains. So we've had really bad flooding that have affected a lot more people than what happened last month.
Wow. I'm sorry. Yeah. Keep going.
Yeah, I went to some news sites and there were actually 2,666 families affected. And thank God, only 374 of our beneficiaries were affected.
Yeah, this is awareness for me because I saw that 374 and I'm like, wow, that's a lot of kids. So I'm thankful that it's not a huge impact comparatively. Now, how are the families doing now? This is August 1st and the flooding happened a couple weeks ago, but are families recovering?
Yeah. Let me talk a bit more about the 374 children, if you don't mind. Those children are beneficiaries of just one of our church partners. The church partner's name is the Search Christian Fellowship. And it's located in the Visayas group of islands, as you mentioned, one of the areas that were affected. Now, this town is near the sea. And so the families were told to evacuate. So they left their homes the day before the rains arrived. They occupied public schools and city centers. And there is actually another church lower south of the country that was affected by the monsoon. It's called the Kapatagan Assembly of God Church in Lanao del Norte. And 102 children were affected, but they didn't need to evacuate. Affected in the sense that their livelihood was affected. They couldn't go to work. The children could not go to school and they were drenched. But the flooding wasn't really bad. That's why they didn't file an official report with Compassion. That's why you didn't see this number. All you saw was 374. Mm-hmm. To your question. your question, how are they now? The 374 families are back home now. It was just an overnight stay at the evacuation centers. The flooding has abated, but still livelihood is a problem because their fathers work as fishermen and carpenters, so they can't go to work, and they work to eat that day. I mean, their salary is only good for a day. So they don't have money for that day. That's why we gave them relief goods, food, canned goods, rice, milk, anything that will help them through a day or two after the rains.
And I know Compassion works specifically with families in poverty. How does the gospel factor in during times like this, like the hope of Christ? I know the Philippines are a largely Christian country, but in this area that's more heavily Muslim, what kind of impact does the gospel have?
Oh, yeah. With or without disaster, the children are exposed to the learning of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible. They go through discipleship on a regular basis. Like, they are encouraged to attend the student center every Saturday and go to church every Sunday. And so their lives, beginning when they were registered into Compassion sponsorship program, practically revolves around God's word. And this gives them hope. This gives them a faith and strength to stand up whenever there are crises that might hit them.
And we
do have.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. We do have churches that are situated in the heart of Muslim areas, Muslim communities. And we do have beneficiaries who belong to Muslim families. Of course, we cannot force the gospel on them. We let the Holy Spirit work in them. And yet, despite that situation, we are not shy to share with them the gospel.
And I want to come back to some questions about the Muslim community, but I'll ask one more about the disaster one. You mentioned the food packets that Compassion distributed. Is there anything else that our listeners can do to help people in this situation?
For this specific situation that happened last month, we have covered the urgent needs, you know, like food, water, milk, and even clothes, I believe. But for bigger events, for bigger crises that could hit, sponsors and supporters can help by, of course, by prayer. And then perhaps by sending gifts, because Compassion has, so in major crisis situations, Compassion taps into its complementary intervention fund. So this fund specifically addresses major disasters. So supporters can help by sending their gifts or donations through Compassion's complementary interventions fund.